Morning out there this morning, isn't it? Just a beautiful morning. As we begin this morning, I was up as we jump into God's Word. I'm just going to mention I went for a walk this morning, about a 3 mile kind of walk run thing I do along the Eno River, and I take a friend with me. You've seen pictures of him before. This is Max, my 8-month-old, 90-pound English Labrador Retriever puppy. And Max's favorite game is fetch. No, that's not quite right. I'd like to say Max's favorite game is fetch, but it is probably more accurate to say that it is chase the stick. And he will chase it wherever it may go. But this is Max this morning again. He has learned that it is, there he is, out there along the Eno again this morning. He's learned that it's far more interesting to simply chase the stick than to have to always bring it back. Because I usually have a few that I throw at him. He sees the stick in my hand, you know, then it's like, okay, throw it again. Let me do this. And I have to work with him. And there's this particular phrase that I use when I'm working with Max, and I'm trying to train him, because he is, I mean, you know, he came out of a box of chocolates, and I think he has some nuts loose. Sometimes they say chocolate laps are a little crazy. But well, the thing that I say to Max is, look at me. Look at me. It's a dog training method that I'm trying to learn, and he usually knows that he'll be rewarded if he brings the stick back, if he drops it, if he sits, he's going to get something good. If he keeps his eyes on me, if he works with me and focuses on the things that I'm after, then Max is a great fetcher. And otherwise, he's just a wild-eyed, wide-open, misdirected miscreant of a stick chaser. And there's an important spiritual principle in there somewhere if you dig around for it. Have you ever spent time just chasing sticks, metaphorically? You want something because you want something, not because you're keeping God in mind so much. Oh, yeah, you kind of want to bring God along on that chase, but you've got your eyes on the stick. But in the end, you discover that it's not as rewarding as you thought it would be. You ever get that stick? You know, the one you always wanted for Christmas? And then after you have it for a bit, it's like, huh. I mean, you know what that shows us, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, I have been a wild-eyed, wide-open miscreant of a stick chaser more than I care to admit. Scripture affirms that each of us was put on this earth for a special purpose. And our main purpose is to live in a relationship with God and to enjoy Him as we live, and for all of eternity. It starts here and continues there. But we are so tempted to settle, aren't we? I mean, it is so easy, especially in our materialistic culture, to stuff stuff into that void inside, isn't it? So often we run after things that do not satisfy. And into that picture, we need to hear the words of Jesus saying, look at me. Look at me. And that's where we come to the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 28 and 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us, the first meaning is simply to walk with him. It's just to walk with him, to stay close to him. And when we do that, the outcome is peace, because he promises to give us rest. Now, the second part of the concept of a yoke implies purpose and direction, right? That's why animals are yoked together. They have something to do. There's a purpose. A yoke team of draft animals are working together for the same thing. And Jesus is essentially saying, join me. Follow me. Go in my direction, and you will discover life in a way that is better than anything you've ever known. But only I can show you what that is. So there are two things here: the concept of being yoked or bound together, and the thought of rest. And I'd like to put these two concepts together this morning and ask you, just simply, quietly, and think about this for a moment. When was the last time you rested in Jesus? Now, we know when that answer was for Nancy this morning, the last time she and I think that's a great illustration for us. Again, you know, she was flat out. Hey, sometimes God does that to us, right? Sometimes we end up, I mean, for me, I remember when I was praying with a friend, and he said, let's pray together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, which is this great passage about knowing Jesus more deeply. And after that 3 months, I ended up in the hospital. I had a case of Giardia that I had contracted in well water in Texas, and I had lost weight, ended up in the hospital, and I could do nothing except lie there. Now let me tell you, that has a way of focusing your heart and your mind real quickly, even if you have ADHD like I do. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you rested in Jesus, that you, on these words, came to him and received his rest? Resting in Jesus is both an active and a passive thing. To receive the rest that he offers us, we have to come to him. So we have to walk in his direction. Again, notice that concept of the yoke here. And then he gives it to us. Notice, we have to be intentional. Sometimes I don't think we get this. I think we just want God to zap us with rest in any given moment, right? Give us peace right now as I'm sort of going about my way. But that's not what happens. We have to be intentional in going to him, in going specifically to Jesus. But that's a challenge for the way we live, isn't it? I mean, so often we want God to move in our direction. Are you running with me, Jesus? You know, God is my co-pilot kind of thing. Instead of, Lord, I'm your servant. Your way, your will. That's a hard thing to pray. But oh, it matters immensely, because if you and I are to have peace, we've got to go there, because that's the only place where we'll receive it. Real peace, lasting peace, only comes when we're close to him. I love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote. He said, let Christians begin to boast, I can do all things without adding through Christ who strengthens me. And before long they will groan, I can do nothing. Now, that's what Jesus said, by yourselves you can do nothing. And that was in the parable of the vine, right? Where he was talking about literally life flowing into us. as we're connected with Him. Here it is. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now that word remain also means to dwell. It means just live there. It means stay in one place. And look at how Jesus words it. This is interesting because this has to do with this whole concept of peace. Remain in me as I also remain in you. You see, He's already there. He's promised us His presence. He remains in us. We can trust that. But our part then is to go there, closer to Him, to remain in Him. Now, this is a simple concept, and this is basically a one-point sermon, because it's the point that we need to do this. So as we live into this next week together, I'd like to encourage you to make a special effort to rest in Jesus. Not just at home, you know, as you're putting your head on the pillow at night. That's great. But do it throughout the day. Do it throughout the day. Whatever you may be doing, rest in Him. We can do this. I love what Bernard of Clairvaux wrote 1,000 years ago. Jesus, the very thought of Thee with sweetness fills my breast. And then he goes on, but better far Thy face to see and in Thy presence rest. There's this longing, this looking forward to Him. But there is this sweet calm even now that comes when we are with Him. And that's the thing, isn't it? He's promised to be with us always. Ah, but we are not always with Him. And there's the difference. And if we walk into that place of being with Him, He will meet us there. That's what He promised when He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me. So just turn to Him again and again in your heart as you go through the day. Yes, spend time in His Word, take it to heart. Yes, spend time in prayer and quietly listening for His voice. But this is simpler still. In the moment, rest. Whatever you're doing, rest. Sitting at the traffic light, rest. Upset in that work situation, rest. Wondering what the future holds, rest. Worried about something that's happening in your family, rest. And out of that rest, live. Mother Teresa told a Time magazine reporter, we try to pray through our work by doing it with Jesus, for Jesus, to Jesus. That puts our whole heart and soul into doing it. And what she's describing is basically just loving the Lord as we live. It's so simple that we can miss it. It's so simple. But He will help us do this if we ask him. Just loving him back, as we talked about last week. Letting our hearts move in his direction again and again as we go through the day. And I know this takes time to learn. I'll tell you, I have a long way to go in it. But the more I do, the more I discover it is the difference between having a heart and mind that is filled with peace and having one that is just self-focused and stressed out and going every direction that a misdirected, miscreant of a wild-eyed, wide-open stick chaser can go. But by the grace of God, we can do this. We can do this. Part of putting on Jesus' yoke implies that we let go of our own burdens. That we put them down and go to him. And remember, he said, his way is lighter. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I think this is one of the reasons why Peter tells us, cast all your cares on him. Cast all your anxiety on him. Because he cares for you. I started with a Max story this morning, and I'll close with one. Max loves to be where I am. He follows me from room to room around the house, and if I close the door, he will simply lie down on the other side of the door and wait for me to return. Labs are like that. That's why they make such great seeing eye dogs. They're really faithful companions. And I'll tell you, because he does that, Max gets stuff that our self-focused basset hound Ollie does not. Now I love Ollie, but Ollie wakes us up every morning at about 5:30, whining to be let out, and his motto for life is, don't ask what Ollie can do for you, ask what you can do for Ollie. And even as I was writing this sermon this past week, I was finishing my lunch. I was enjoying some great smoked chicken left over from our trip to City Barbecue last Tuesday. And because Max followed me into the room and sat down beside me while I was eating, he got some. But Ollie was off somewhere else doing his own thing, and he didn't. But he has the sense of smell of a basset, which is second only to a bloodhound. And the poor little guy came into the room a little later looking around, and he started whining, but by then it was too late, and he missed the moment. The chicken was gone. And the moral of the story is, don't miss the chicken. Stay close. Come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Rest in him, and he will give you more of himself. What did he say? I am the bread of life. And let me tell you, that is some bread. And his word promises that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So take your rest, Christian. Rest in him. May we pray. Lord, you know us. You know
how we struggle. You know how easy it is for us to live for ourselves. And you call us to come to you, to walk with you. Lord, thank you that there is nothing better than that. Sometimes this life is so hard, but it is so much harder without you. You are our peace. You are our rest. And even in those moments where we doubt that, Lord, I thank you that you were so real in your relationship with your disciples that they could say, Lord, who are we going to go to? You have the words of eternal life. And another man could say to you, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So Lord, would you help us as we come to you with even just a little bit of faith this morning? To say, yes, yes, I want to rest in you. Yes, Jesus, I want to walk with you. Yes, Lord, help me to leave those things that I know are not of you, those areas where there is sin in my life. I confess it to you right now. Lord, I turn from that and I turn to you. And you promised if I come to you, rest and peace. Please, Lord. I want to take that from you. I want to receive that from you. You promised, please. We can pray this way if we've never received him before. And if we've received him, but just need to walk closer. But if you've never received him before, know this. He is love. And knowing him, you will know the deepest, best love of all. And Jesus went to the cross to show us that. And to receive that love, we come to him. We confess that we need it. More than anything else, we need to be forgiven. Because we can't be in the presence of a living and loving, holy God and have it be all about us. But if you just say, yes, Lord, he'll meet you. If any of us say, yes, Lord, oh, Lord, thank you. You give us your peace. And we rest right now in you.